Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 90 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. We are just 10 episodes away from the big 100. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, I'm joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. We are almost there.
Yeah. So close.
Who would have thought that a humble little Pokemon podcast would have gotten to 100 episodes?
Monumental occasion for us. If you're new to the show, well, you guessed it. We are a show all about Pokemon. That's right. Everyone's favorite franchise. We talk about the video games, trading card games, the anime, the manga, anything and everything. We talk if Pokemon's in pop culture and or vice versa. We are talking about it. A nice show today, I think, for folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. We got a little bit of breaking news just as the podcast was about to start,
yeah.
And so I think we'll dive into that. But before we do, just real quick overview of how the show goes. We do some news in the front part, then we take a quick break, then we do a bit of a deep dive, and then Christian, in an effort to make you a smarter, better Pokemon fan, gives you a Pokemon fact of the week.
Mm-hmm.
This week's
mm-hmm.
is a pretty good one.
It is.
So I'm excited for it.
I had no idea about this one.
But you're going to have to wait till the very end. Don't scroll to the end if you're listening to the audio, but if you're watching live on Twitch, that's right, you can watch and chat with us every Monday morning, or afternoon, I guess, because it's 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 o'clock Central, 5 p.m. overseas in the London-ish area. You can go to twitch.tv/comicbook, and we love taking fan questions and comments, and it just helps us along with the show because sometimes you guys are saying things that we're not thinking about, and let's just get on with it. Christian, let's go with the breaking trading card game news.
Breaking news, everyone. Breaking news. Put down what you're doing
This is legit breaking news, not news, Christian. Yeah.
Like, does it involve a Charizard?
It might.
Probably.
We don't know yet. I mean, chances are it will eventually involve a Charizard card. There is a new Pokemon trading card game trademark that has been filed by the Pokemon Company. This comes from our friends over at Pokebeach. The trademark filing is the very, very straightforward VMAX Climax.
So a new form of VMAX card. No, we're just rolling on by with that mm-hmm. one. We're not even going to give it any attention.
What attention is there to give?
Exactly.
That's a very straightforward, no nuance needed.
Okay, so VMAX Climax cards. Let's talk about these for a second, because obviously we don't know anything about, we don't know anything other than this is a trademark that Pokemon Card Company has filed. Christian, if you were to compare this to maybe something else that we've seen in the trading card game, what do you think it may be?
I don't know.
Considering what we know, like VMAX were like, you know, the VMAX cards were basically the GX or basically GX cards that have different mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember if there was like a super GX card.
If I had to guess, I mean, you're really hamstringing me here with this. There are so many things that I'm just not allowed to say. I have been told to stick to the straight and narrow. So maybe this would be the equivalent to a break card. which we haven't seen those were last seen in X and Y. So maybe because, you know, we know that there's some sort of new mechanic coming. They add a new one every year. It's not just going to be the battle styles. There's going to be some sort of, the power creep is real. Let me just put it like that. And so we've gotten a few different variants of, trademark filings. I'm guessing that this is all leaning towards the same thing, and they're still workshopping the mechanic name. And guys, I am just going to go and tell you guys, just keep on workshopping. This should not be the final one. Please, 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 Pokemon Company, do not make this hard on me.
Look, a Lightbird Poke fan, longtime watcher of the stream goes, how many VMAX cards are there going to be, for goodness sake? And why the bad names? Pokemon names get better, card names get worse.
True statement. Yes. I think we found out about the Pokemon V cards, like, pretty, close to an actual recording of this podcast. And, Oh, man, that was a field day. I mean, I just remember it was like 20 minutes of jokes. They make these things so hard on me, guys.
They really do. They really do. Yeah. But okay, that's enough. So anyway, that's really all we know. Anything else that we do at this point is pure speculation. Obviously, we know it's going to be a new mechanic. What kind of mechanic? Who knows? Maybe we'll get... I've been waiting for Gigantamax sized cards. Maybe we get those.
Not gonna happen. We have jumbo cards already.
But I need a jumbo card.
Wow, that's a bit excessive.
Yeah,
it has to be a Gigantamax sized.
Yes, a jumbo VMAX card. A VMAX Climax card. Yep.
We have one more bit of Pokemon trading card game news to cover today. Big sales are happening. So look at this. If you missed out on the Charizard train, if you have Blastoise and it's in good condition, you could probably get some money for it. And not a little bit of money, because one just sold for $360,000.
So Jim, you always come in hot with these things. Sell your Blastoise card, make six figures, and then here I am to give you the hard truth of reality.
I'm the hype man, and you're the play-by-play.
You're not going to pay off your house with Blastoise. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
A super rare variant Blastoise card called I believe it's the Collector Blastoise. There's only two in known existence. One of them sold for $360,000, making it the most expensive single Pokemon card, beating Charizard, which makes sense because Blastoise beats Charizard, unless this is the Pokemon anime. And so it sold for $360,000. These cards continue to be super hot. They are, the vintage market is just going up and up and up. I believe, if I remember correctly, this card was purchased by the rapper Logic.
Logic's been buying up a lot of Pokemon cards if you follow him on social media.
I do not, but...
Here's the crazy thing about this image, and we may or may not be able to get it up. So if we do, Richard will let me know, because I'm going to send it to him. But if you look at the text on this Blastoise card, it basically looks like it looks like someone made it in MS Paint using Comic Sans as a font. That's the card. So if you go take a look for it, Richard will let me know one way or the other if we can pull it up in a second. But I mean, when I went to go look at this card, I was like, what? No, this has to be fake. But no, it's real.
Because these were the early ones these were the preview cards. They were clearly testing out fonts, much in the same way that they are workshopping names for the new mechanic.
Christian.
What? I am just bringing this full circle. I have not said anything wrong.
No.
At all.
You've only said things which are right.
The other thing to note in other big sales, an unopened first edition box sold for $400,000.
Yeah.
Was it a YouTuber? Because I swear every time I go on YouTube, I guess I just watch so much Pokemon content, my feed is just filled with just like prolific, you know, YouTubers who have a bunch of money from ad revenue and they're buying and like going through these card boxes. So
I know
all I can assume.
Two YouTubers who, like, you know, I guess this speaks to the universality of the Pokemon franchise, because I know two YouTubers that are better known. I guess I honestly don't know what one of them does. She's a professional cosplayer, I'm not really familiar with her YouTube content, but she recently posted on Twitter about how she just bought a bunch of boxes of Pokemon cards to do openings with, and I'm just like, I remain surprised about how popular Pokemon card box openings are. All power to those who watch.
But here's the thing. But here, like, it's the excitement is really churned on by the unknown, right? Like, you could have a box that, you know, still worth a lot of money, first edition cards or what, you know, or whatever. But you're basically paying that price, hoping there's a Charizard in.
You're right. That's the entire purpose of that. There's 36, and you know you're odd because I think there's 36 cards in a set. So your odds are not terrible. And keep in mind that the original base set, their rares, you know, that was before they started doing the stupid reprints.
Yeah.
Of rare cards with holofoil and without holofoil.
I hated that.
So,
started doing that, it was the worst.
They literally started doing it like one set in.
I know. And I hated it. It was awful. Remember my first one was a Mewtwo, and I thought, I was like, oh, I saw Mewtwo and I pulled it out and there was no holo. There was no foil.
Was that what, a base set two then?
Yeah, it was base set two.
Okay, yeah.
Really, anyway, Richard does have the Blastoise, so let's pull it up on screen so we could all look at the Comic Sans. There it is. I mean, that looks like something that someone did with like those colored back iMac, Apple iMac computers.
Graphic design really is my passion.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard, for pulling that up on the screen. But again, like, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, and that's the thing too. Like, so to me, this is a card more like if you're an action figure collector or whatnot, like getting prototypes or basically, right? So like those are in the collecting, you know, community for figures, prototypes have kind of that same value, depending on what the figure is and whatnot. But you know, nice little preview card. And so that's it. So anyway, Pokemon card box sold for $400,000. That preview Blastoise for $360,000. And look, the prices just keep going up, 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 up. Let's make a jump to Pokemon Go. I have caught a Groudon. So big thank you to Vince Trainer, who invited me to a raid this weekend. I did a few raids with Groudon, only caught one, which was really frustrating, but whatever, it is what it is. I still got one. Happy. But did either you guys go out for any of them? Or
yeah, I caught,
Christian, you were looking.
Unfortunately, I could not find a second Kyogre raid to do, so I didn't get the Rayquaza. But I did get three Groudons.
Oh man, is that what the I didn't realize that was the bonus encounter.
Yeah, it's a Rayquaza with Hurricane. Pretty handy Pokemon. A little bit disappointed that I didn't get it. But you know, c'est la vie.
Now I'm annoyed.
you were so excited. You were so ready.
I was. I totally forgot that was it. Like, I was so focused on just getting the crowd on that, like, because I don't care about Kyogre, and I'm like, whatever, I don't need it. Not realizing that, oh no, I needed to complete that so I can get Rayquaza.
Yeah, you need to catch two of them, but you were nowhere close to getting it anyways because you needed to catch two crowds on too.
I will shout out. I do need to mention to Rankin 2700 in the chat, waiting for Jim to open my gift. My pack is full. I am trying to empty it of all the junk I have in there so I can open more gifts.
Just get rid of all your healing items, Jim.
I need them because now I'm going on raids and stuff.
Yeah, you don't need like the what's your size?
I only keep max potions and revives. That's it.
Yeah, that's so. Like, I guess I can't really.
You know what it is? I have a lot of charge. I have a lot of like the TM stuff that I feel like I'm holding on to a rainy day, and I don't know why.
Get rid of them.
I should probably just get rid
of them. Just give up the ghost, Jim.
Yeah. So anyway, what we really needed to talk about was the Johto Celebration event. Is the last of the celebration events that are happening in the free-to-play app. Gives players a chance to grab 2018 Community Day moves.
Yes, there are a number of... this is, I believe, 2018 and 2019. There's a mix of them. They did say it was all 2018 Community Day events. There's been so many of these things, it's hard to keep track of them. Meganium, Typhlosion, Ampharos, and Tyranitar, if you evolve those Pokemon, beginning tomorrow at 10 a.m. local time and running through Sunday, January 31st at 8 p.m. local time, those Pokemon will know various exclusive moves that were previously exclusive to their community days. Blast Burn, Frenzy Plant, you know, obviously are very good plant type and fire type moves. The Dragon Pulse, Ampharos is very handy if you plan on Mega Evolving that Pokemon and using that, as that gives it a same type attack bonus as Mega Ampharos, which was just added to the game last week. Is a dragon type, in addition to being an electric type. And of course, Tyranitar, Smackdown, that gives it an extra, a solid rock type, attack to use. Which, you know, you can never have too many strong rock type Pokemon in Pokemon Go. So, solid event.
Yeah.
Also, Shiny Milk Tank, seems to have a boosted shiny rate. I don't know. I don't really get what they've been doing with the last few of these shiny, you know, things. Because before it was like, you know, when it was Nova, it's like, here is a new shiny Pokemon. And then they're like, yeah, Shiny Aaron is appearing in the game. It's like, dude, Shiny Aaron's been in this game for 2 years, man. And now they're like, yeah, Shiny Milk Tank. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's been in there. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? I did catch a shiny Nincada last week.
Oh,
hey.
On a totally, you know, unrelated note.
I like the Nincada spawns have been really, really low for me. And like, I just saw one the other day and I was like, oh, hello. I will take it. So anyway, all right, we need to take a quick break. And when we get back, we are going to talk about a possible, maybe return or Pokken Tournament 2. We'll see when we get back. We're back, folks. That worked. That was exciting. Anyway. So, now, let's talk about... First, we have one anime thing to jump to, where it looks like Ash may be getting a Grookey. Christian thinks probably not, but...
I mean...
How great would it be if Christian was wrong?
I mean, I would be wrong.
Ash,
it's more likely. I'm just going to say, based on the teasers that the Pokemon Company has been putting out exclusively in Japan, like little promos, it does seem fairly likely that Ash will be getting Grookey, which makes sense because obviously Grookey is the grass starter for the Galar region, and Ash and his grass starters are just real close.
Just loves them.
Hoffer, I can understand you are a little bit skeptical of this.
I am only skeptical of this, and that I really thought that Ash was going to get Sobble, and then they put Sobble in like an abuse situation. So
it's not been great. I definitely understand. Not been great. I feel like Echo has really underutilized Sobble as of yet. However, it does seem like Grookey will be ending up with Ash, which would be a really nice addition to his team, especially the one that he's kind of collectively put together for Pokemon Journeys. However,
it's
I think it's a really weird team. It is
Ash's team is a very like hodgepodgey kind of team, and I kind of love it.
It's all really like forceful, like strong, like head strong Pokemon, which I'm a huge fan of. It wasn't what I was expecting him to have at all for this series, but since Galar isn't necessarily the primary focus for Pokemon Journeys, I think it's been a good kind of combination of new and old. And I think, you know, as Grookey evolves up into Rillaboom, like that's going to be a really good situation for him. He is still weak to fairy types, so he needs to get that fixed. Though I think the new promo that we got today will have Hoffer even more concerned, because there's like a 95% chance that Suicune is going to become a Pokemon for Go.
Oh Jesus
Christ. Like no. It looks like it's looking like Suicune will actually be caught or decide to travel with the pair for at least a little bit. It's not good. I don't think it's going to be like an extended ordeal, but they've been releasing a lot of promos recently on the Pokemon anime's Japanese YouTube channel, and it features the voice actor of Go basically being like, will Go catch Suicune? Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. So...
Is this going to be one of those like Eternatus situations where, you know, he catches it and he immediately gets arrested by the authorities?
I mean, prob's not. I don't feel like that's the case. It seems like, based on what the chatter and the theories are online, is that this Suicune will end up joining Go for a little bit in some sort of concerted effort to meet up with Celebi or to like track down some evidence about Celebi, because obviously that's Go's big mission in life is to find Celebi and to find Mew and those Pokemon. So that seems to be kind of what is being hinted at here. All I know is that if Go is able to catch Suicune, I'm going to lose my mind.
I could just see it.
That's not possible. It shouldn't be possible.
So my theory is, so, you know, Suicune is going to go like, oh, yeah, we're going to follow, you know, Go around. It's like, oh, my God, this guy, no. And just, like, departs. Like, voluntarily leaves the team. Just like, no, thank you. I am done with this. That will also not happen because I keep trying to present Go as something resembling legitimate. But,
Oh, yeah. You be nice to Go. You quit it.
I am being nice to Go. I'm being very nice to Go.
To be fair, Hoffer has been much meaner to Go than this. This is true. Him being like tame.
He is.
Although I do need a little bit of context because Huckleberry Flynn brought it up in the chat. Apparently, they showed a golem shell.
In the anime? In Japan?
Yeah, I guess in the anime. Yeah, yeah, in Japan. So does that mean like, does Golem shed the shell, or is it a Golem shell and then there is a weird naked beast underneath it?
I mean, they didn't really kind of explain, to be honest with you. It was just kind of like there. I feel like the more likely thing is that like it was kind of a shedding situation. Yeah. I don't think Golem is like a turtle, but if it is, that's brand new information to me, and I need.
Turtles don't shed their shells, do they? No, I mean they don't get. They're not like hermit crabs.
Yeah, it's totally empty. Yeah. You know,
that's why everyone was confused, because we were like, or the alternative thing was that someone speculated that the golem died, and obviously the shell is rock, so it's not going to degrade, but all of the fleshy bits of golem, like its head and arms, it all rotted and went away. So some people speculated that the shell was just like the remains of a dead golem.
That's how turtle shells work. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, turtle shells are left preserved in the exposed part of the turtle.
Guys, I have good news. Good news. The Pokedex states that the golem grows bigger by shedding its skin once a year. Shell immediately hardens when exposed to air. Allegedly, it's supposed to crumble away and return to the soil. But it is possible, through some preservation method, that is how they got it. So, you know,
recently discarded shell and quickly shellacked it.
Yeah,
for sure.
A good measure.
So, you know,
nobody died. You're fine.
All right, we need to keep moving along, so let's get to the Pokemon tournament update. So I think like this all basically came from, and correct me if I'm wrong, because Bandai Namco basically said they'd do one if they could. Mm-hmm. And so that basically led to speculation on like, well, if Bandai Namco wants to do it, maybe they're talking to the Pokemon company and maybe we'll get one.
Well, they straight up said we are not talking with the Pokemon company. It is up to the Pokemon company to tell us.
That's what they have to say.
There's good news and there's bad news here. Like, you know, Pokken gets a weird, Pokken by no stretch of the imagination, like people are like, oh yeah, you know, Pokken, you know, was a flop. I'm like, it most certainly wasn't.
No.
I mean, it definitely wasn't. I mean, especially for a second tier fighting game, it sold 2 million copies. That's not bad.
And they held some pretty big money tournaments for it too.
Within the VG competitions, it did. It just didn't. It could have done so much more, and I feel like that's why the reputation of it being a flop within the competitive community is so pervasive, because it did have a shot, but it was never.
Well, I mean,
it was never promoted in that way,
right? And there was no general upkeep like with added fighters, right, as you know, for DLC past, you know, basically the initial launch that I mean, you can only play and master the same characters for so long before, you know, adding new dynamics to the game and having it, you know, last.
Yeah. Well, and that was. I think that was like the big question was, you know, would they be continuing that? And so the producer, one of the producers of the game, who's the guy who made Tekken, like, you know, so like somebody who would know about this stuff, you know, the creator of Tekken was like, we love Pokken. It did well for us. We'd love to do another Pokken. It is not our call whether or not we do Pokken. Nintendo and, you know, the Pokemon company need to want a Pokken tournament too. Yeah. This isn't exactly surprising news. I mean, it took us how many years to get a new Pokemon Snap?
Yeah, it's true.
Yep.
So in 20 years, we'll get a new Pokemon.
20 years.
I'll also say this. Nintendo is still investing pretty heavily in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, that is their premier fighting game, and I could see why they would not want to release another fighting game that kind of competes with that, especially as Smash is still inactive. You know, it's still not only, it's not a complete game. We're still getting more DLC.
Yeah, but those games are so different. Megan, you were going to say something, so go ahead.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I think you're totally right. The competition here. I mean, it's funny to think about because if you compare Smash to Pokken, there is no competition. Smash wins. But I mean, if Pokken had been treated with the same level of care, there definitely could have been points of comparison of them being at least quasi competitors. But what I was going to say is, so I mean, we get Pokemon Snap, you know, 20 plus years after it came out. The problem is I am not sure Pokken is going to hold that same, like, that nostalgia factor.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's going to be the big thing that I feel like Pokemon Snap has been so pervasive in the fandom conversation that it was impossible for the Pokemon company to kind of ignore it. At some point, you know, the scales tipped and the Pokemon company had to kind of acknowledge, like, yeah, this is a game that, you know, we're probably not going to revisit, but in the back of their minds, they were. Yeah. I'm just can't imagine that happening for Pokken in 20 years, which is upsetting because I love Pokken. I'm just curious if it wouldn't be more, you know, beneficial to the Pokemon company and Nintendo in like 20 years instead to roll out, you know, a different kind of, you know, arcade fighting system game for Pokemon that would be maybe even more in line with Smash. Who knows? But
I think the interesting thing too is, had COVID not happened, maybe like and you know, arcades obviously are not a thing right now because no one can really, you know, get to them safely. But like if they happen to see a continued trend or usage of those games, like, would that lead them to figure out a way to do more DLC? But that's neither here nor there. But Christian raises a pretty interesting point with Super Smash Brothers. So I'm going to ask the chat, and I'm going to ask you two guys, if you're if you had the opportunity to add one more Pokemon immediately into Super Smash Brothers, who would it be, and why? who wants to go first among us? I'm going to say Dragonite.
I was going to go with that. I was going to go with that because I was like, it can fly. It adds a totally different like play level to the other Pokemon that you deal with.
I think Dragonite would be a good one. So go ahead. Who are you going to say now?
I think I still like the idea of like flight for the Pokemon. So, I mean, I would probably go something like Rayquaza. I feel like that would be a really great Pokemon to be able to play the long, slender body, play snake, fly around.
This is for Smash, right?
Smash, yep.
Yeah,
for Smash.
I'm going to go with Marowak because I am a sword user to my core. I could see Marowak being a basically a smaller version of Pit because, not Pit's current moveset. I've been playing so much Smash over the last 2 months. I really got back into the game after my nephew started trash talking me. So fun Smash story. Back in college, not major competitive scene, but in the college level scene, I was something of a known commodity in Smash. I was pretty good at Smash back in college.
Local Smash celebrity, Christian Hoffer.
Yeah. I could hold my own. I never won any tournaments, but I've placed, in my share.
Well, now I have to ask, who is your go-to character?
Oh, Roy. I'm a Roy.
Okay.
Oh, of course you would.
I said I'm a sword user.
Makes sense. At least it's not Marth.
Yeah, yeah. No, give me explosive fire. My nephew did not realize the side of me. So when I got Super Smash Bros. Ultimate a couple years ago, he was like spending the night at our house, and he was just like out of nowhere just starts trash talking. He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna beat you so badly, Uncle Christian. Like, I'm gonna kick your butt." And like, me and my wife both like look at him because my wife is well aware of how good I am at Smash. And like, my wife is like, "Ryan, you get like one chance, like back away now." And I'm like, no, let's go and play. You can have any character that you want. I'm just going to take this little known Japanese character named Roy. He probably sucks. What am I even doing? And I just proceed to like whip him. I'm like, let's do a stock battle, like 10 lives apiece. Like, what could happen? 10-0. And I was like, oh man, what a coincidence. Let me use another character. I don't know. How about Meta Knight? Meta Knight sucks, right? 10-0.
Yeah.
I did it to him 5 times with like 5 different characters. 10-0. 10-0. I'm sitting there and like he's like, Uncle Christian, let me on to I'd go and like toss him off the side. Then I'd go and grab an item and I'd whip it at him and knock him off the stage. He's like, this isn't even fair. I don't even get a chance. I'm like, life's not fair. Deal with it.
If there's one game Hoffer is scarier at than Pokemon, I guess it's Smash.
I do want to point out, I think someone brought it up. I've got to scroll up in the chat, but someone brought up Eevee being brought into the game and have the ability to change into different forms.
Oh, that would be,
I think is a pretty cool.
That's me. I'm only good with one character in Smash, but if they brought Eevee into this, I would immediately
I would grind all day every day.
Seriously, we joke, but I would do it.
Yeah, sorry, that was Huckleberry Flynn. Sorry, I couldn't scroll up in the chat. So that was a great one. That's a great suggestion. Other suggestions included Gengar and Darmanitan, however the hell you say that one.
Yeah, that would be
it. Yeah, Darmanitan would be a good one. Gengar, I think I said that. All great ones. No one said Geodude, and that really hurts my feelings because I feel like you can do. Geodude, you can do
a item that you pick up and throw it.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, that would be great. Like those little blocks that come down, you just pick up Geodude.
Yes. Love it. All right. Let's get to the Pokemon fact of the week because we do have to get out of here. Christian, what do we got?
Lapras. A interesting Pokemon. Lapras may derive their name from an unexpected source. The scientist and mathematician, Pierre-Simon Laplace, who is known as, you know, coming up with the mathematical equations to predict the tides and to explain how the tides work here in the oceans. And Laplace and you know, Laprez, you know, there's only, you know, some very minor differences. And so the running speculation is that is where the name came from.
Nice. I like that. I like when, like, there are real life kind of applications or, you know, nods to, you know, scientists and things like that when it comes to Pokemon. That's a fun one to do. So that's a nice one. Thank you, Christian, for that.
You're welcome.
I will say there is one thing about Lapras that I think is interesting. If you look at the Pokedex, is like for the first couple generations that you see Lapras, it was always such a sad intrigue. Because they're like, Lapras has been overhunted to death. It sings at night to cry to those who are still alive. But now if you look at it, I know it's really dark. But now if you look at more modern entries for Lapras, it's like due to extreme overprotective natures for like the like people in stating for Lapras, there's an overabundance of them. There's so many Laprases now. So I think they like realized how dark they were getting, which is funny because Pokemon, as we've discussed, is dark if you just look a little too hard. But I think they realized it's so sad.
But that's right. But that's like legitimate in-game research continuity that has grown in that Pokedex, right? Apparently there were not many Laprases. And so people started learning about Laprases in the world of Pokemon. And so they said, we have to save the Lapras. And now there's tons of them.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And it's reflected in the Pokedex. To me, like, that's a dumb, cool continuity nod that you can see that you don't normally see in these Pokedex entries. Like,
it's, well, and it also reflects how in the original Pokemon games, it was not a Pokemon that you could catch in the wild. It wasn't until, give me a second, I will look it up. You know, so it was a, you know, basically until Generation 4 was the first time it was really commonly available. You know, you could find it on Victory Road in the Sinnoh region.
Yeah.
But before that, you know, it was a weekly appearance in Union Cave. And, you know, other than that, you know, in the original Pokemon games, you could only receive one of them. You know, it was, you know, a one-er.
Okay. But, you know, we have, you know, praised, obviously, the resurgence of Lapras, but the Ultra Moon entry says they've been cherished so much that there's now an overabundance. The fish Pokemon population has declined in waters with too many Lapras.
This is what happens when mankind interferes with the circle of life. You know, it's time to take Laprases out back and start hunting them again. You know, okay, I have to bring this up. I can't help but wonder if that was a reference to the whaling industry in Japan, which has its own controversial history. And, you know, Japan is one of the few countries that tries to defend their whaling industry, and they claim that they do it only for research, and that is very much not true. Yeah. I can't help but wonder if that is just a sly little dig at that. I really hope not, because that's dark.
I mean, it's already dark. All of it's dark as is, but I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised. But anyways, if you are a fan of Lapras, know that at one point they might have all disappeared. But
your
now,
love of Lapras has kept Lapras around.
And now it has a Gigantamax form.
Yeah,
the Gigantamax form says it could carry 5,000 humans on its back, in case you were curious. 5,000 people. That's so not COVID.
Basically, Gigantamax Lapras is basically a cruise ship.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yes, that is exactly. There we go. Jim nailed it.
Nice. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Do want to thank everyone who has watched us live on Twitch every Monday, 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, www.twitch.tv/comicbook. Otherwise, if you are listening, thank you for listening. And if you want to find other ways to support the show, by all means, tell your friends about it. If you tweet at us, we almost retweet you all, basically anyone who does. So at PokemonPodCB is where to find us on Twitter. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I am at C Hoffer C Bus.
So until next time, everyone, we will catch you here. Same time, same place. So if you need, if you need something from us, you know where to find us. We'll talk to you later, folks. Catch you later.